May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So this week, actually, it would be last week, a federal judge struck down a portion of the Affordable Care Act that forbids transgender discrimination in healthcare. The judge ruled that the protection interferes with healthcare providers' religious freedom. And when I read that, I remembered when I was in nursing school. I went to nursing school in the 1980s. My oldest daughter was in high school, so I was kind of a late bloomer going to school. But during that period, the AIDS epidemic was going strong, and treatment was still in the future. There were stories of healthcare providers refusing to care for patients with AIDS, and many of those that were infected by the virus were abandoned by their friends and their families out of fear. During that time, I had to take a microbiology course. And on the very first day, the professor stalked in and he glared at us. And he said, "I will only say this one time. I will never say it again. And I suggest that you listen. If you are unwilling to take care of somebody with AIDS or any other disease or condition, you need to drop this class. You need to drop this class right now and change your major immediately. You don't get to choose who you will care for and who you will not." And he was silent for the longest time. And he just kept looking at us as if he was trying to read what was in our hearts. And in that moment, I think I really began to understand what being a nurse would mean. It was also a point in time where perhaps I really understood what it meant to be human, to live in a world that is sometimes scary and out of control. For me, it also meant that we don't get to use our religious beliefs or our fears or our prejudices to choose who deserves care or our kindness or our compassion. And I couldn't let go of that story from all those years ago. And I think it was because today we are celebrating the feast of St. Luke. St. Luke was a physician that knew that healing was not just fixing the body, but healing of the body, mind, and spirit. Not only for the individual, but also for healing and repairing this world we live in. Paul describes Luke as the beloved physician and claims him as a friend. In the second letter of Timothy that we heard today, Paul writes, "Only Luke is with me." Luke was also a Gentile. He was an outsider. It is believed that Luke was the author of this gospel and the book of Acts, and that they were most likely were written as one document. Each of the four gospels has a different focus, a different flavor, if you will. Mark's gospel moves quickly. It uses minimal words to tell a story, using the word immediately to give us a sense of urgency for what Jesus and his followers were doing. Matthew's gospel paints a picture of how Jesus' ministry was a fulfillment of Jewish law and promise. And John invites us into a great mythic story through his poetic gospel. While Luke was perhaps had the widest vision of them all. His gospel is filled with stories of God's compassion and love for those who are outsiders. This gospel is an invitation to all of us, to you and to me, along with crazy relatives, the outcasts, the oddballs, the screw-ups, and for people in the margins. Luke is a social justice guy, as a friend of mine would say. Luke's gospel also includes many well-known and loved passages, the stories of Jesus' birth. Linus reads Luke's version of the Jesus' birth in the cartoon A Charlie Brown Christmas. And in Luke, we hear the Annunciation and Mary's joyful response to God, the Magnificat, the longest set of words spoken by a woman in the New Testament. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones. But he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Throughout history, the poor and the oppressed have identified with these words, the song of God's compassion for the poor and the powerless in this world. It's a song about radical reorienting of unjust systems, whether political or social. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor and theologian who was executed by the Nazis, called the Magnificat the most passionate, the wildest, one might say the most revolutionary hymn ever sung. And it's a hymn that we still sing. And you can hear those joyful and revolutionary words come to Evensong next week. Luke also brings many of the parables. A parable of the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son and the Beatitudes, blessings and woes. Messages of hope and reconciliation for those who are not seen or welcome, for strangers, for migrants, for the poor and the disenfranchised, or those deemed of little worth by others. Luke's gospel confronts us with our prejudices and our fears and our lack of compassion for others. This gospel, through these stories of Jesus, challenges us to do better and invites us to live into the transformative love of God. Of all the passages from Luke's gospel, it is interesting, but perhaps not surprising, that those who organized the lectionary chose this one. It's not a story of healing of the lepers, or of a child healed, or a man picking up his mat and walking away. And it isn't one of Jesus' parables where he flips the story, the neighbor is the stranger, the lost are found, the poor are lifted up, stories of reconciliation and God's all-encompassing love. Instead, we have this one, a remarkable moment in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He goes home to the synagogue in Nazareth. He stands to read the words of Isaiah. He was anointed to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim that we are all living in the days of God's favor. What Jesus proposed was revolutionary. It was transformative. It was life-altering. He had come to love the unloved and serve the underserved. A message of deliverance and restoration. Wholeness and healing for all of God's children. All who are hungry or are hurting. He has filled the hungry with good things. Jesus says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And I find myself thinking about Luke's hometown, Antioch, Syria, a place now of war and bombings, death and destruction, families gathering up what they can carry, fleeing for their lives with no idea where they're going to go. And I wonder about the transgender community who is being hurt and their lives put in danger by others' beliefs or rules of what is good and acceptable. And I wonder about those of us who are walking around wounded or broken, and we're just unsure if everything will ever be okay. What does wholeness and healing look like? What does it look like for those in war-torn countries? What does it look like for our transgender brothers and sisters? What does it look like for those who are wounded, hurting, or broken? And maybe that's why this passage was chosen, to remind us that Jesus came into this world for exactly that reason, anointed to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim that we are all living in the day of the Lord's favor. And this is good news for all who are hurting or lost or in pain or in any kind of trouble. And we remember that today, this very day, the scripture has been fulfilled in our hearing. Today means that we are right here in the middle of God's work and his dream for repairing this sad old world. Today meaning now, not tomorrow or the next day, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. We too, you and I, have been anointed to bring good news of Jesus' all-encompassing love and his words of healing and reconciliation to everyone who will listen. Reaching out our hand in love to those who are hurting or in pain. To stand up and speak out for the poor and the oppressed, for those who are being judged by their sexual identity, for those affected by war and ethnic hatred. We are being called to invite others to experience the transformative and healing love of God. But we are also being called to allow God's incredible love to just wash over us, to fill us, letting God's love transform and heal us too. Amen.